وقل رب زدني علما.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، This is the class from the book بلوغ المرام للحافظ ابن حجر، كتاب الحج، The Book of Hajj, from Hadith 586. Hadith 586, Kitab al-Hajj. قال الحافظ رحمه الله تعالى وعنه أي وعن ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أيما صبي حج ثم بلغ الحنث فعليه أن يحج حجة أخرى، وأيما عبد حج ثم أعتق فعليه أن يحج حجة أخرى. رواه ابن أبي شيبة والبيهقي ورجاله ثقات، إلا أنه اختلف في رفعه، والمحفوظ أنه موقوف. نارير ابن عباس may Allah be pleased with him, Allah's messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said, if any minor performs the Hajj, if any minor performs the Hajj pilgrimage, and afterwards attains the age of puberty, he must then perform another Hajj. And if any slave performs the Hajj, and afterward is free, he must then perform another Hajj. Reported by Ibn Abi Shayba and Al-Bayhaqi, its narrators are reliable, but there is disagreement as to whether or not it is marfu' attributed to the Prophet ﷺ. The correct opinion is that it is mawquf, saying of a companion. So in this narration, that if any minor, any child, any young under the age of puberty performs Hajj, the Hajj is valid, but if he reached the age of puberty, he must perform the Hajj of Islam. So 7-year-old, 8-year-old, or even younger, for instance, to perform Hajj, the Hajj is valid. But if he reached the age of puberty, he must perform the Hajj. Likewise, if a slave make Hajj and then is free, then he must perform Hajj of al-Islam. This narration, as the Hafiz mentioned, he said, it is never Yazid, and the narrator, the reporters, narrators are reliable, but the ulama, they disagree as to whether or not it is marfu', means the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or it is mawquf, means the saying of the companion. Hafiz ibn Hajar, he says, wal mahfudu annahu mawquf. So the scholar of the author of this book, he see that this narration is mawquf, means is the saying of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma. Hadith 587, وعنه قال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يخطب يقول لا يخلون رجل بامرأة إلا ومعها ذو محرم، ولا تسافر المرأة إلا مع ذي محرم. فقام رجل فقال يا رسول الله إن امرأتي خرجت حاجة، وإني اكتتبت في غزوتي كذا وكذا. قال انطلق فحج مع امرأتك. متفق عليه واللفظ لمسلم. Narrated Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he said, I heard Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addressing, means the people, and saying, a man must not be alone with a woman unless a man who is a mahram. A man must not be alone with a woman unless a man who is a mahram. Unless a man who is a mahram is with her. Likewise, a woman must not travel unless accompanied by a man who is a mahram. A man stood up and said, O Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, my wife has gone out to perform the Hajj pilgrimage, and I have been enrolled for such and such expedition. Thereupon he, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, said, go and perform the Hajj with your wife. Agree upon, and the warning is Muslims. In this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, he said, la yakhluwanna. This is fi'l mudari. A man doesn't be alone with a woman unless he's a man of mahram. A man of mahram. We know from this that a man and a woman who are strangers to each other must not meet privately. A woman may not undertake a journey, regardless whether it is long or short, whether for religious purpose or out of necessity, except with her husband or a mahram. A mahram is a person to whom she is so closely related that marriage is not permissible, such the father, brother, son, and uncle, but not including cousins. So in this hadith, the Prophet ﷺ forbade that a man to be alone with a woman, to be privately with a woman. It's not allowed. It was not that long when one of the sisters were complaining about her husband, that he made his brother live with her in the same house. House consisting of about 3 bedrooms. And each one has there, it is a bathroom. But it has one entrance. And this brother, this man, he make his wife stay in that house with his brother. Is that allowed? It's not allowed. That's haram. It's not allowed. But some Muslims, they mix their cultures and the religion of Allah. They mix their culture, which is contrary to the religion of Allah, and the religion of Allah. They don't see this as a problem, while it is really a true problem. In another hadith, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إياكم الدخول على النساء. Be aware of a man entering to a woman. Don't enter to a woman. There is that house, a woman, she is not your mahram, don't enter that house. Sahaba, they said, oh, the Messenger of Allah, وكيف الحمو? How about the ham? The ham is a qareeb zawj. Is that the one who is close and relate to the husband, his brother, his uncle, and the like, his cousin? Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, alham al-maut. The ham is death. And it is the worst. They were thinking that since this is close to the man, his husband, his brother, uncle, cousin, it may be okay. He's so related to the man. Prophet ﷺ said, that is the death. The people of knowledge said, they said, because no one should have any suspicion about these people entering to this woman. Oh, he's the brother of the husband, he's the uncle, he's the... And then fitna may happen. Unlike if a stranger tries to enter this house, the neighbor will ask, especially a Muslim country. People are open to one another. People, they guard one another, Muslim country. They are real brothers there. So if anyone go into your house, the neighbor will catch him. Why were you entered? The people know one another. In Islam, you have to know your neighbor to help them, to be aware of them. Here in this country, no. You have a neighbor in front of you. You don't know him, he doesn't know you. And you may even feel happy that you don't, he doesn't know you, you don't know him, to be safe from him. Subhanallah. This is totally different. Here they say, if you don't pay the rent on time and the landlord put your stuff out, the first people take your furniture is your neighbor. Wal-iyadu billah. No, no, Islam doesn't happen. Muslims, no, they don't allow your stuff thrown out. Why? You're thrown out. Even it's very hard, the owner himself to do that. Unless this person is negligence, and has been given many chances, he may do that, but the neighbor will figure out. They will ask what happened. They will give him. Alhamdulillah, this is from the blessing of Islam. This is from the mercy of Al-Islam. Muslims are, subhanAllah, they have a lot of good quality. I do remember, you enter a restaurant, you eat food, you want to pay, somebody already pay off. You enter a bus like Greyhound, any other bus. You want to pay, somebody already pay off. I remember I traveled from city, I myself personally, from city to another city. Days, almost 3 or 4 days. Somebody pay off everything. You don't even know him. You don't know him. So generous people. We have many shortcomings, but there is a lot of good thing taken from Islam. From that is that you know your neighbor and they know you. Your children go, they go wherever they want. Anybody who see doing something wrong will discipline them and bring them to you. And you are okay with that. There is no these things here. You cannot touch my son, even if he's in the masjid. Subhanallah. Why he cannot touch if he's disciplining? He's not beating him, he's just disciplining. He's like his son. He's your brother, his brother in Islam. So basically the whole environment is helping you, raising your children with you, protecting you. So the point is, the Prophet ﷺ said, Al-Ham al-Maut, the man relate to the man entering to his wife's house is death. They say because the neighbor will not have any suspicion. Oh, his relative, his close ones. Unlike it's strange. Why this man is entering this house? But subhanAllah, out of ignorance and jahiliyyah, some Muslims, they do that. Mainly those Sufi are their sheikhs. Alhamdulillah, their sheikhs are Ahl-Sunnah. They teach the people. So they know this is not allowed. But many Sufi, they don't teach people. They don't teach. So a lot of things, shirk and innovation is, and ignorance is spread. So this is not allowed, a man and a woman to be alone in a house. It's not allowed. Wallahi, I do remember, it's an incident happened. This is ignorance. A man and his wife, and this man's friend, used to live the same house. 3 room to the man and his wife, and 1 room the other, but it has one. And they are very, very close. Means they are no relative, but very friend. The man is husband of the wife and his friend. And the man, he traveled to another place. And he asked his friend to continue shopping for his wife. That person, he come to me crying, saying he committed zina. Wallahi al-Azim. With his friend's wife, what can he do? He tell, big problem. He hide, he deceive his friend who trusted him. This is fitna. Some people, they take it like very bad. A lot of things happen. A lot of things happen. So any non-mahram shouldn't be with a woman. Any non-mahram shouldn't be with a woman. So Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "La yakhluwanna rajulun bimra'ah illa wa ma'aha dhu mahram." Now, a man shouldn't be alone with a woman except if he is a man of mahram. Some ignorant, they say, you look, akhi, you suspecting, you saying bad about me? You think bad about me? No, the Sharia said it, it's said it. Don't do that. Don't say I am special or I am anybody. Otherwise, you may be tested with. And it really it did happen. A man was eating with the left hand. Prophet ﷺ said, eat with the right hand. He said, I'm not able, out of ignorance, out of arrogance. Prophet ﷺ said, لَسَّطَعْتَ, that you don't able. After that, he never raised his right hand to his mouth, paralyzed. So you don't, the Sharia said, Sharia said. Now, the taxi driver, yes, that, some ulama, they say it's not allowed. And some of them, they said, as long as it's in a public place, some of them, they said that. Al-Muhim, if it is not a private. Some ulama, they say it's not allowed. The second, a woman doesn't travel except with mahram. A woman doesn't to suffer. Likewise, a woman must not travel unless accompanied by a man who is a mahram. This is the Sharia of Allah. Nobody can change that rule. It remains that way. It remains that way. وعنه Hadith number 800. So when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that, one of the Sahaba, he was one of those who must go to a specific expedition, a specific war. He was sent to a specific place for jihad fi sabilillah. And his wife already went with those who went to the Hajj. So when the Sahabi hear that she cannot travel without mahram, this Sahabi ask her, O the Messenger of Allah, I have been appointed to a such expedition, and my wife, she went with the people. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, انطلق فحج مع امراتك. Thereupon he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, go and perform the Hajj with your wife. Cancel wherever you are going to, go with your wife. This hadith, the ulama, they use that a woman is not allowed to perform even Hajj without mahram. Why? Because Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he canceled this man who was supposed to go to jihad, and it was mandatory on him because he was appointed. It was not voluntarily. He was appointed, so it was wajib to go to the jihad. But when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, go with your wife, it shows that that's more stronger, more wajib than him going wherever he was supposed to go. So some scholars, they say when it comes to the Hajj, if they have righteous people, trusted people, some of them say they can perform Hajj. But other ulama, they say no, even Hajj, they can't without mahram because of this hadith. Of course, this time, the time we are in, because of fitna, because of ignorance, because of desire, many of the legislations may seem very strange. The person who adhere to it may seem very radical, very strict, very extremist. But alhamdulillah, whoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide him and he gave him the light of Islam, he adhere to the teachings of the deen of Allah azza wa jal, because it is the mercy, it is the guidance, it is the success. As Allah said in another ayah, قُلْ لَا يَسْتَوِي الْخَبِيثُ وَالطَّيِّبُ ولو أعجبك كثرة الخبيث فاتقوا الله يا أولي الألباب لعلكم تفلحون. So the good and the bad are not equal. Even if you are amazed with the outnumber of the bad, fear Allah, all those who have intellect, those who have heart, those who have understanding to succeed. So always do the right thing. Do the قال الله, Allah said, the Messenger said, صلى الله عليه وسلم, you understand in a proper way, stick to it. Don't say so and so, Sheikh, his wife travel without mahram. So and so, Sheikh, his wife, that's so and so. So and so, so. All those are not proof. They are not proof. Even if he is the greatest scholar. The proof is, قال الله, قال رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم على فهم سلف الأمة. Based that, with the condition that the verse and the hadith is understood the way the Salaf Salih, Sahaba, and those who followed them understood. Next is 588. وعنه يعني من عباس رضي الله عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم سمع رجلا يقول لبيك عن شبرمة. قال من شبرمة؟ قال أخ لي أو قريب لي. قال أخ لي أو قال قريب لي. قال حججت عن نفسك؟ قال لا. قال حج عن نفسك ثم حج عن شبرمة. رواه أبو داود بن ماجة والصحابة بن حبان والراجح عند أحمد وقفه. Hadith 588 narrated Ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam heard a man saying labbayka on behalf of Shubruma. Labbayka means, which means I answer your call, or I am at your service. Oh Allah, I answer your call. Or oh Allah, I am at your service, I am at your obedience. So a man said labbayka, this is what you should say when you start in Hajj or Umrah. But he said on behalf of Shubruma. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, who is Shubruma? The man replied, a brother of mine. A brother of mine, or he said, a relative of mine. He sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked, have you performed the Hajj on your own behalf? He replied, no. Whereupon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, perform the Hajj on your own behalf, then perform it on behalf of Shubruma. Abu Dawud and Ibn Majah reported it, and Ibn Hibban graded it as sahih, authentic. Ahmad held that the stronger opinion is that it is mawquf, meaning the saying of the companion, means Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. In this narration, this hadith is authentic. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam heard a man who is saying, oh Allahumma, I perform Hajj or Umrah, Hajj, I perform Hajj on behalf of this man called Shubruma. In the hadith that you say the intention when it comes to the Hajj and Umrah out loud. These two acts of worship, you pronounce the intention. You say, Allahumma labbayka hajjan, or Allahumma labbayka Umrah, or Allahumma labbayka hajjan wa umrah. Unlike the fasting, the prayer, the sadaqah, or any other act of worship, you don't pronounce the intention. You don't say, usalli farad salat al-isha'i arba'a rak'atin lillahi ta'ala. Don't say that. Don't say, nawaitu sawma hajjin, nawaitu sawma ghadin, and something else they add. So they pronounce, they say loud the intention of salah, fasting, while they shouldn't. But Hajj and Umrah, yes. Hajj and Umrah. Because this man, he said, Labbayka an Shubruma. Labbayka an Shubruma. Oh Allah, I intend to make Hajj on behalf of an Shubruma. Then Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked the man, did you make Hajj on your, who is Shubruma? He said, he's my brother. Or he said, he's my relative. So this is proof that you can make Hajj on behalf of your brother, make Hajj on behalf of your relative, and the ulama, they say, on behalf of any Muslim, whether he's dead or alive. The man, he said, he's my brother or my relative. Then Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked the Sahabi another question. He said, "You yourself, did it happen you perform Hajj on behalf of yourself?" He said, "No. This is the first time you perform in Hajj." He sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "First make Hajj on behalf of you. Then make Hajj and Shubruma." So in the hadith, you don't make Hajj or Umrah on behalf of somebody else until you make it from your own. Make it on your own behalf first. Then it's legislated to make it on behalf of someone, your sheikh. Sheikh Abdul Muhsin Abad, if I'm not mistaken, he make Hajj. Or one of the other scholars, I think Sheikh Abdul Muhsin Abad, he make Umrah, he make Hajj on many scholars. So it's legislated. وعنه 589 وعنه قال خطبنا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال إن الله كتب عليكم الحج فقال فقام الأقرع ابن حابس رضي الله عنه فقال أفي كل عام يا رسول الله قال لو قلتها لوجبت الحج مرة فما زاد فهو تطوع رواه الخمسة غير الترمذي وأصله في مسلم من حديث أبي هريرة. Narrated, Ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him, Allah, his messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, addressed us and said, Allah has made obligatory upon you, Allah has made obligatory upon you the Hajj, the pilgrimage. Al-Aqra ibn Habis, radiallahu anhu, then stood up and asked, is it to be performed annually, O the messenger of Allah? Is it to be performed annually? Oh, messenger of Allah, every year do we have to perform? Here, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, if I were to say that this, it would have become obligatory. It would have become obligatory. If I were to say that it is, if I were to say that it is, means it's a mandatory to perform Hajj every year on every Muslim who is able, he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said it would have become obligatory. However, the Hajj is means to be performed once, means in a lifetime. The Hajj to be performed once. And any Hajj, any extra Hajj is voluntary. And any means Hajj extra is voluntary. Reported by Al-Khamsa, except At-Tirmidhi, and it is basic meaning is in the Sahih of Muslim from the Hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. In this hadith, that performing Hajj is a mandatory. When Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that, one of the Sahaba called Al-Aqra ibn Habis, he asked a question: "Afi kulli amin ya Rasulullah?" Which means, do we have to perform Hajj every year? Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in another narration, he remained silent. Then the Sahabi, he repeated. Prophet, he remained quiet. Then he repeated the third time, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if I would have said yes, it would have been mandatory. Then it's one is a lifetime, the Hajj. Anything more than that time, one time, then it's sunnah, it's tatawwu. You can perform Hajj every year. It's not mandatory after the first one. رواه الخمسة غير الترمذي. This hadith shows that the Prophet ﷺ legislates. He sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, legislates. If he would have said Hajj is every year, it would have been. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave that to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Another hadith, he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لَوْلَا أَنْ أَشُقَّ عَلَى أُمَّتِي لَأَمَرْتُهُمْ بِالسِّوَاكِ عِنْدَ كُلِّ صَلَاةِ رواية كل وضوء. If I don't scare to make heavy, to burden on my ummah, I would have making siwak What's the siwak? نعم. Yes, tooth stick. If I don't scare to make hair or to make to burden on my ummah, I would have made it the tooth stick. I would have made mandatory. So means after Allah Subhanahu wa Taala, it was Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam right to make it a mandatory, but he didn't do that out of fear. Out of fear, it will be hard on the ummah. The ulama, they say, this making siwak is not a mandatory, but the reward is the reward of mandatory. Because that is the origin. To be mandatory is the origin. And something mandatory has bigger reward than something optional. That's why Allah made it mandatory. Any act of worship which is mandatory is more beloved to Allah than the superiority act of worship. So even though using the teeth stick is sunnah, but the reward is the reward of mada, the reward of a mandatory act of worship. Just like you pray 5 prayer and you get the reward of praying how many salah? 50 prayer. ذلك فضل الله يؤتيه من يشاء والحمد لله رب العالمين. Chapter 2 باب المواقيت. باب المواقيت. This hadith, this chapter is about مواقيت. And here the Sheikh means مواقيت المكانية. When you want to make Hajj or Umrah, there are places you must make sure you don't pass to Mecca unless you are in a state of ihram. So someone wanted to make Hajj, he wants to make Umrah. There are places Prophet ﷺ appointed it. If those places are between him and Mecca, like us now, those mawaqit are between us and the Kaaba. You cannot reach the Kaaba unless you pass one of those places. If that is the case, you are not allowed to pass that place. For instance, if you come from Medina side, you are either from the people of Medina or you come from where? No, Jeddah is another side. Medina, what's behind Medina is like Palestine. You come from Palestine, your direction is Medina, to Mecca, is to Medina. Okay, to Medina. So anyone who come to that, he must make ihram, the intention, and also take the clothes from the miqat of Medina called Dhul Hulayfa. He doesn't exceed. Likewise, if you come from Yemen, the miqat of Yalamlam. Likewise, if you come from the miqat of, if you come from Iraq, the miqat of Dhatu Irqin. If you come from the miqat of Sham, miqat of, so there are places surrounding to the Kaaba. Some of it are very far. The Medina miqat is the farthest. It's very far. So if you want to make Hajj, you want to make Umrah, you have to make sure you don't pass those places except while you have ihram. You intended to make Hajj, you intended to make Umrah, and also you dress the proper clothes as a male. Also women, they avoid the qufazain and they avoid the niqab. So this is the hadith about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In this hadith, the Sahabi said, أن ابن عباس رضي الله تعالى عنهما أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وقت لأهل المدينة ذا الحليفة ولأهل الشام الجحفة، ولأهل نجد قرن المنازل، ولأهل اليمن يلملم، هن لهن ولمن أتى عليهن من غيرهن ممن أراد الحج والعمرة ومن كان دون ذلك فمن حيث أنشأ حتى أهل مكة من مكة. متفق عليه. جزاك الله. Narrated Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, this hadith 590. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam appointed the following places as miqat, the place for entering the state of ihram. The place for entering the state of ihram. This hadith tells us, okay. Dhul Hulayfa for the people of Al-Madina. Al-Juhfa for the people of Sham. Qarn al-Manazil for the people of Najd. And Yalamlam for the people of Yemen. So these miqats, these places, are for those living at those places and for people of other regions who come through them if they are intended to perform Hajj and Umrah. Whoever is living within this miqat, means on the way to Mecca, should enter the state of ihram from where he sets out, means from his home. Even the inhabitants of Mecca, means entering ihram from it, means from Hajj only, agree upon. So in this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Sahabi mentioned, he sallallahu alaihi wasallam appointed the following places for the people of Medina, and whoever come from that direction. Dhul Hulayfa. So Dhul Hulayfa is Medina. Dhul Hulayfa is Medina. So after Medina, straight to Medina is Palestine. Then Lebanon, then Syria, around that area. The opposite to Medina, the opposite is the other side of the Kaaba, is Yalamlam, is Yemen. So Medina and Mecca are between Palestine and Yemen. Is that clear? Yes. So you have Mecca, you have Medina, and then you have, after Medina, you have Palestine, Lebanon, Syria. And the opposite is Yemen. On the other hand, you have Al-Juhfa, which is the, what do you call, Jeddah area, Red Sea, where is the ocean after Jeddah? The Red Sea. So the Red Sea where you have Egypt, you have Sudan, that direction. So that is the miqat called Juhfa, the direction of Egypt, Juhfa. And Jeddah, close to the Jeddah. Actually, it's very far from Jeddah, but Jeddah is between the two miqat. The Jeddah is the between the miqat of Egypt and the miqat of Yemen. That's where Jeddah is between it. Yes. Naam. Excellent. So if you want to you are coming from the direction of Jeddah, you either go to the miqat of Juhfa, which is the area of the direction of Egypt, or you go to the miqat of Yalamlam, with the direction of Yemen, or any place even to it. Even to it, yeah, even to it. Even to it, you don't have to go, but you don't pass. People fleeing Mecca, very good. Now that's the second question. The hadith mentioned. But as for the people who are between the Miqat and Mecca, they are between the Miqat and Mecca. For instance, they live in, they don't leave Medina. After Dhul Hulaifa, they leave. Those people, they perform the Hajj from their houses. Because between they are between the Kaaba and the Miqat. So wherever they are, then even the people of Mecca make it the Hajj from Mecca. But from Umrah, they go outside. So America, where is America? America is everywhere. What direction is America? Is it Palestine direction or Yemen or Iran or where? Oman or Turkey? Yes, هن لهن ولمن أتى عليهن من غير أهلهن ممن أراد الحج والعمرة. The small map here I have, it doesn't show me it. It only show me. Yes. Qatar to Qatar. Qatar is Qatar, if that is Qatar, is a Riyadh's direction. Yes, Riyadh direction, Kuwait and Emirates, Oman, all that area. That is the Miqat call, they call As-Sayl al-Kabir. Al-Muhim. Yes. If you are on an airplane, don't take chance. Before you even reach that area, have your ihram. Yes, because you may pass. If you pass it, you slaughter animal. So if you don't know, when you go to enter the miqat, way before you reach 1 hour and a half ago, then make your ihram. It doesn't matter where you enter, you already was in a state of ihram on the miqat. But if you go into Medina, you don't have to worry about it. You go to Medina normal, you buy the clothes of ihram from there, you stay in Medina normal person, then when you go to Al-Hulayfa, you go there. Or you now there is a train. There is a train now, 2 hours, very fast. Yes, 2 hours, 15 minutes, very fast. Train, mashallah. It's like airplane. Alhamdulillah, Allah made it easy. وعن عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وقت لأهل العراق ذات عرق. نعم، وقت لأهل العراق ذات عرق. رواه أبو داود والنسائي، وأصله عند مسلم من حديث جابر، إلا أن رواية إلا أن راويه شك في رفعه. Narrated Aisha 591 radiallahu anha, the Prophet ﷺ appointed the Iraq that Irqin, a place called that Irqin, as the place where the people of Iraq should enter the state of Ihram. Reported by Abu Dawud and An-Nasa'i. And An-Nasa'i is basically meaning it's reported by Muslim from the hadith of Jabir radiallahu anhu, except that it is narrated, doubt whether it is marfu' attributed to the Prophet ﷺ. Narrated in Sahih al-Bukhari, it is Umar who appointed that irqin. Ahmad, Abu Dawud, and Tirmidhi reported from Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, the Prophet appointed al-Aqiqi. وعند أحمد وفي صحيح البخاري أن عمر هو الذي وقت ذات عرق. وعند أحمد وأبي داود والترمذي عن ابن عباس أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وقت لأهل المشرق العقيق. الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم that he appointed Al-Aqiq as the place where the people of the East should enter the state of Ihram. Dhul-Hulayfa is a name of a place that lies 6 to 7 miles from Al-Medina. MashaAllah, Dhul-Hulayfa is a name of a place that lies 6 or 7 miles from Al-Medina. Najd, lexically means the elevated land. And the same specifies the expanse of a land between Tihama and Iraq. Al-Ju'fa is a village between Al-Medina and Mecca. It is the miqat for the people of the miqat of Sham, Syria, Palestine, etc., and Egypt. It is not in use today, and it is people enter Ihram in a place before it called Rabiqa. Qarnul Manazil is a place adjacent to Taif, which is now known as Sayl. Yalamlam is the name of the hill, which lies at about 2 day journey from Yemen. These are the places specified for the pilgrimage to enter the state of Ihram. The pilgrimage who live outside the pilgrims who live outside the limits of the place specified herein must enter the state of Ihram at these points. Those living within the limits of the region fringed by the serp points may enter the state of Ihram from their respective places of residence. It's not necessary for them to go back to the miqat, the serp points, to enter the Ihram. The fact is that Irq was appointed as miqat for the pilgrims coming from Iraq by the Prophet ﷺ himself, as the decision in regard to this matter was taken during Hajjatul Wada', the farewell Hajj of the Prophet ﷺ. It is reported by Al-Bukhari that Umar radiallahu anhu had appointed that to Irq as miqat, whereas the fact is that Umar radiallahu anhu merely reaffirmed it. So, Al-Muhim, this narration, this hadith shows that when you want to make Hajj and Umrah, there are places you shouldn't pass, you shouldn't exceed, except if you are in a state of Ihram. In a state of Ihram means having the intention to be Haji or Mu'tamir or both, and also to dress the clothes. The first one is a pillar, and the second one is a mandatory. Means the intention is a pillar, but taking dressing is a mandatory. Next chapter, chapter 3, Babu Wujuhil Ihrami wa Sifatuhu. Babu Wujuhil Ihrami. وصفته أو وصفته باب وجوه الإحرام وصفته أو وصفته صفة مرفوع أم مجرور باب وجوه الإحرام وصفته أو وصفته وإز جود وذ نحو. باب وجوه الإحرام وصفته أو وصفته يا عبد السلام مجرور. لماذا مجرور؟ معطوف على ماذا؟ أحسنت، بارك الله فيك. You deserve at least $10. بارك الله فيك. Yes. Even if you don't get it, you deserve it. بارك الله فيك. True, yes. So in the book I have Babu Wujuhil Ihrami wa Sifatuhu. Taha's Dhamma. And Abdul Salam, he says, no, it should be wasifatihi, ta should have kasra. Who is right, the book or Abdul Salam? So now is a competition between the book and Abdul Salam. Abdul Salam Amriki. MashaAllah. Naam, Abu Hammam. Mar raja عندك باب وجوه الإحرام وصفته or وصفته. وجوه الإحرام باب وجوه الإحرام وصفته or وصفته. صفته. نعم مجرور على أنه معطوف على إحرام. أحسنت بارك الله فيك. So this shows sometimes what's written in the book may be mistaken, not by the author, by the publisher, the computer, the system. So if you don't know the grammar, then you're mistaken it. That's why it's not sufficient somebody to take knowledge from Google or from books, because there are mistakes there. Sahih. So that's the right thing. باب وجوه الإحرام وصفته أي باب وجوه صفة الإحرام. باب وجوه صفة الإحرام أو باب صفة الإحرام. Chapter 3, the manners and nature of the إحرام. عن عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها قالت خرجنا مع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عام حجة الوداع، فمنا من أهل بعمرة، ومنا من أهل بحج وعمرة، ومنا من أهل بحج، وأهل رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بالحج. فأما من أهل بعمرة فحل عند قدومه، وأما من أهل بحج أو جمع بين الحج والعمرة فلم يحلوا حتى كان يوم النحر. اتفق عليه. نارير عائشة رضي الله عنها، we went out with Allah's Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم in the year of the farewell pilgrimage. While some of us said the talbiyah intention for Umrah, some for Hajj and Umrah combined, and others for the Hajj means alone. But Allah's Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said the talbiyah for the Hajj. Those who made intentions for an Umrah finished the state of Ihram upon arrival, means and completing the rites of Umrah. But those who made intention for the Hajj or combined the Hajj and the Umrah didn't finish the state of Ihram till Yawm Nahar, till the day of Eid. In this hadith, the mother of the believers, Aisha radiallahu anha, said that they went with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam the year called Hajjatu al-Wada', the farewell Hajj. Farewell Hajj means it is the year, the only year Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam performed Hajj. And it was the last year, it was the first year. So he sallallahu alaihi wasallam made farewell lectures. He gave a talk, and from that talk that he may not perform another Hajj after that year. So it's called Hajjatu al-Wada', the year the Prophet ﷺ, he made farewell Hajj. And she said, radiallahu anha, from them, from the Sahaba, someone who intend all Umrah. And another one who intended Hajj and Umrah together. And among them who intended only Hajj. As for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he intended Hajj. Those who intended only Umrah, they finish the state of Ihram when they finish the Umrah in Mecca. But for those who intended only Hajj, or they intended both Hajj and Umrah combined, they didn't finish the state of Ihram until the day of Nahar, the day of slaughtering, the day of Eid. So they remain on their state of Ihram all those days. So if you are performing Hajj, you perform in one of these three ways. either you are tamattu, you make tamattu, means you first perform umrah. When you reach Mecca, when you reach the miqat, you intend umrah. And you enter the state of ihram, you make labbayk Allahumma umrah, you continue until you reach Mecca. You make tawaf, and then you make sa'i, and then you cut your hair, you finish the umrah. So these are the four pillars of umrah: the intention to enter it, and then the tawaf of Kaaba, and then the sa'i between Safa wal Marwa, and then cutting or shaving the hair. Yes. After tawaf, what? You make two rak'at miqat behind miqat of Prophet Ibrahim. Yes, I was mentioning the pillars. We were mentioning the pillars. Then this person, he changes his clothes. He's like any other person in Mecca. Until the day, the eighth day of Hajj, he make ihram from wherever he was leaving it. Ihram of Hajj, he intended from there. Yawm al-Tarwih. Unlike the one who intended to make only Hajj or combine both Hajj and Umrah, when they come, they make ihram from the miqat, they come Mecca, they make tawaf al-qudum, the tawaf of coming to the Kaaba. Then they remain on that state. They don't use perfume, they don't cut their hair, their nails, nothing. They remain. Until the eighth day, they go to make Hajj. They continue, they go to Mina. Which one is easier? The tamattu. Yes. They have to do fidya. They have to slaughter animal. Those who make tamattu, they make umrah, they relax it, then they make hajj. Also, those who combine both hajj and umrah, they have to also make fidya. Why these two? Why the fidya? Because both of this group, they were supposed to make ihram of hajj from miqat, ihram of umrah from miqat. Because these two different acts of worship. So hajj need from miqat. From, if you are from people of Medina, you want to make hajj, you have to make ihram from Dhul Hulayfa. If you want to make umrah, you have to make ihram from Dhul Hulayfa. Two. So if you choose to make tamattu, you're only making one time ihram from the miqat. You're not going back to it. You have to slaughter animal. If you choose to make hajj and umrah together, you're also making one time passing the ihram. So you have to also slaughter animal for not going two times to the miqat. Unlike the one who performing only hajj, there's no slaughter on him, but he has to make umrah from the miqat. Is this understandable? So the easy one is it depends when do you come. If you come the day of Yawm al-Tarwiyah, you come Mecca. Yes. So hajj and umrah is easier together in that sense. But if you come in ahead of time, like after Ramadan, like now you are in Mecca, you make Umrah now. Yes, you can make Umrah. From now you can make Umrah of Tamattu. So you stay in Mecca until the day of Hajj. So in that case, you cannot be in a state of Ihram all that time. So in that case, Tamattu is easier. The ulama, they differ which one has more fadl, more virtue. Some of them Tamattu, some of them Qiran, Man is combining both, and some of them only Hajj. Which one is strong? You make your own research. والله أعلم. وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.